Our reading tonight is from Proverbs chapter 1 again, verses 20 to 33. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when you fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil."
So what we're learning this morning, as I've said, about that pathway, about the subtlety of the devil and how he tries to pull a young person away. Not even just a young person, but how he continues to try and pull older people away. And a young man spoke about a friend. Lost his life in tragic circumstances. You know, we've went through that in our own church with a believer. But you know, one of the comforts is, whenever you're a Christian, I heard a man saying one night, whenever you're in the world, you mightn't really know that there's a devil, but boy, when you get saved, you will. But he can never steal your soul. And the Lord tells him that he is a sheep, and none shall pluck them from his hand. The Lord can destroy your testimony, he can destroy your life, he can destroy your family. He'll never take your soul. What a blessing that is. There's nothing more sure to. The Lord saves you when he reaches down and brings you into his hand, and you're his. You're his. And there's no way the devil's ever taken you off him. You can backslide, you can get into a bad way of going, you can turn away and even look like, maybe people question, will you ever see it? If you're truly saved, at one point in your life, if you truly repented unto the Lord, your soul will never be lost. There's something to grasp, something to hold on to, because that's the power of Christ. He has overcome the world. None shall pluck them from my hand. And as we read down through this, we're going to see a bit of that. So verse 19 is where we finished off this morning. We'll just read that again. "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." And please keep your Bibles open at First Proverbs as we follow down through it and grasp the key words and what the Lord is saying to us here. Take it out of the Bible. Don't just take it listening to me. Look at it in front of you in the written word of God. You should do that in every sermon. Grasp onto God's word. It's written for you here. It's a blessing to have it in written form. So clench onto it here. Keep your Bible open, please. So verse 20. "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." So when you read that verse 23, and wisdom tells you that people hate her knowledge, fools hate the knowledge, but if you turn on to it, it will pour out its spirit upon you. Well, wisdom is nothing else than Jesus Christ. It is Christ. Who else can bid the spirit to come and be poured out upon you? And as you look around you today, does the fools not hate Christ? Do they not hate the knowledge of Christ? And if you listen to Radio Ulster even, and you hear the debates on the affairs of today, you know, they'll bring anybody on and they'll listen to them and they'll give them airtime. But dare you mention God's word, and they'll cut you to pieces. They'll mow you down. I heard a man on probably a year and a half ago. He's a Presbyterian man. I think he's from about Ballyclare. And he's being challenged by some guy from the Rainbow community. And about sin, about homosexuality being a sin. And the man quoted verse by verse from Corinthians about how the sodomite was turned and changed to Christ in the church of Corinth. He lists out the murderers, the lovers of themselves, and they list, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10 or 1 Corinthians 11. And he finished off with, "But such were some of you, that you're sanctified, you're bought with a price." Was Christ reached into that city of Corinth, and he plucked the sodomite out of it, and he spoke unto them, and he converted them. And they became one of the biggest churches in the New Testament church. We learn so much from the church, or the two letters to the church of Corinth. They were built out of the filth of the world, the dirtiest of sinners. That's what that church was built out of. Christ reached down into it and plucked them out of it. It gave them a chance. They were on that path of destruction. They were on that path of the devil. And they come to a point when the message of God, by the hand of the Apostle Paul, was brought to them. And they were brought to a point whereby they were allowed to turn. Christ permitted them to turn. If you read there in verse 23, it's just like this. "Turn ye at my reproof." And Paul brought the gospel to them, and that reproof was placed in front of them, and they turned around. And Christ reached into their life and saved their souls. We're going to listen to the two testimonies tonight. And generally, probably 90% of the testimonies you will listen to in the Free Presbyterian Church begin with, "It was a privilege to be brought up in a Christian home." And so it was. But that doesn't get you to heaven. Salvation is a very personal thing. And at some point in your life, and no matter how many generations before you knew the Lord, whether they were pastors, whether they were ministers, whether they were elders, what they were, I'm quite sure if your father or mother could carry you into heaven, they would do it. But salvation is a relationship between you and Jesus Christ. Nobody else. You don't need any other mediator. You don't need a minister. You don't need a church. You don't need a priest. It's a personal relationship between you and God. And when you get brought to the point here, as is in verse 23, where you are to turn at my reproof, have you ever been to that place? The New Testament describes it in a different way. In Matthew chapter 3 and 2, John the Baptist preaches and says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God," or "the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And also in Mark chapter 1 verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1 and 15 also, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Can you look back at a point in your life when you repented? I'm not asking you, did you look back in your life and believe that there was a time wherever you knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? The Bible tells us to repent. There's a turning away from the sins. Verse 23 here of our text in Proverbs chapter 1 is, turn. Remember, they've been on this pathway of sin. It's his turn. "Ye at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you." Everything we read through the chapter this morning was about stealing, about thieving, and about killing, and this destructive way. And it just paints the picture of a deprived soul grabbing everything that doesn't belong to them, and stealing, and just being a horrible person. But here we're brought to a point where I'm horrible people. Them thieves, them murderers are brought to a point, and Christ gives them a chance. He says, "Turn at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit upon you." You don't need to steal the spirit. You don't need to steal anything. Christ gives it to you. It's a gift from God. "I will pour out my spirit upon you." And it's the same whenever John is preaching here in Matthew and in Mark, and whenever Christ preaches in Mark chapter 1 as well, we're told to repent. That's what salvation is. Repentance. Seeing that you're a sinner. Knowing that you're a sinner. And turning away from it. You know, people tell you, "I've got saved." And if you see absolutely no change in their life, and they're on a sinful path and things don't change, well, you'd have to question it. It's not our place to judge. Christ will be the ultimate judge, but by their fruits ye shall know them. If there's no turning away from the sinful ways, you need to question their salvation. And maybe you're just like that. Maybe at a point you made a profession of faith, but there's no true repentance. There was no turning. There's no turning off that path of evil. Your life didn't change in any way. Your mindset didn't change. You didn't get that renewing of the mind. Have you truly repented? You know, I made a profession of faith at 7 years of age. I lived a very happy lifestyle through my childhood. My big interests in life were flute bands, fishing, and playing football. And I just sallied through life. At 16 years of age, I left school and I started to serve my apprenticeship as a stonemason. And I was putting a squad of three other men, three Christian men, Baptist men. You know, as I sat in that van and sat in the tea hut, these men constantly talked about Christ, about their Saviour, and the comfortableness these men had talking about Christ. I didn't know that. I didn't have that comfort. And I was really drawn to the fact and brought under conviction of sin that I wasn't saved. Whenever I was a child and I prayed that prayer, I just prayed it because all the people in my family had prayed it. I was just doing the family thing. I was just being swept along with that. It wasn't personal to me. I never saw my sin. At the age of 16, the Lord came in, spoke to me, and I turned from that path. I didn't leave an evil, wicked life, but you know what? I was heading to the same hell as the murderer. I was heading to the same hell as the thief. I was heading to the same hell as the sodomite, as the adulteress, as the wicked. Christ brought me to a point and he says, turn. At my reproof and at his reproof I turned. I pleaded for salvation. I pleaded for forgiveness of my sins, and Christ answered me and he saved me. This is the point of the journeys brought till here in verse 23, and it says here, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Have you ever struggled to understand the Bible? And maybe you've read for years and you don't really understand. Just pray to God, pour out that Spirit upon me. And he'll do it. Pour out your Spirit upon me. Give me understanding of the Word. Help me to just soak it in. To suck it in. You know, all at different intellectual levels. I would place myself like the Apostle Peter. I'm ignorant and unlearned. If anything ever happened to my hands and I couldn't be a stonemason, I don't know what I would do. Because my GCSEs aren't pretty. So where I would go after that, I don't know. But you ask the Lord to pour out your Spirit upon you, and he'll give you understanding of his word, and he'll speak to you as friend speaks with friend. Verse 24. Now we have I spoke to you about how personal it is. Salvation is between you and Christ, and so is your judgment. When that path comes to an end, the judgment is between you and Christ. Here we see those that don't turn out his reproof. And it says here in verse 24, because I have called and ye refused. Ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. No man regarded it. So as Christ, maybe for years you have sat under the word of the ministry in this church. Faithful ministers before the one you have at the moment have come and preached to you. Your parents have taught you. Other places you've heard the word of God. It says, I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. Constantly, Christ has put out his hand to you, inviting you to turn from that path, inviting you to come to him. And maybe you don't look at it as you've refused. You've looked at it as you've just sallied on home and not went to Christ. But there's no in between. You have either accepted him or you've refused him. There's no middle ground. You're in some one or the other. Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. So there is that fear that's coming. There is that fear that's coming, and it's yours. These two words here stand out. The ye refused, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You've totally turned away from his reproof. So there we have twice the word ye is personal. Verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Twice again, he makes it personal. It's yours. personal. It's between you and Christ. Verse 27. When your fear cometh, and desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Now I believe here, from verse 27 on, we're talking about the cut off of death. How quickly that comes in. And you might think to yourself, well, there's still a conversation going on here. Well, that's right. And there will be when you die. That's not the end of it. We'll stand before the Lord. And here we have find this. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. And that's how death is going to come into you. As a whirlwind. And it says here, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Wouldn't that be a scary thought? To go through a life of sitting under ministry, faithful ministry, to go through a generation of being reached with the gospel of God, to not take it up, to turn away from him, to walk out those doors every evening and say, yes, good enough sermon, not a bad man, that's just not for me. And death comes your way, and your body is put to the grave. But before your body even hits the ground, your soul lives on, and you have a maker to meet. But it says then that he will not answer you. But I will not answer them. Verse 28. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The opportunity came right at the start of the chapter. Remember, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. That choice was to be made. Now, how many times have you been presented with that choice? Do you fear the Lord and accept his free grace? Do you accept the gift of his atoning blood? Do you repent of your sin and ask Christ to cleanse you from it? Or do you just keep going in that simple mind whereby, yes, you know the message of the gospel, it's out there, and I'm not going to focus my mind upon it, because that's what the simple of mind is. You've heard it, but you're not giving head time to it. You're not willing to home in on it. You're not willing to think of it in the context of your soul, personal. It's all to do with somebody else. But Christ died for you. Yes, he died for the world. But on that cross, he carried your sins. He carried my sins. The sins I'd done before I was saved, and them that I'd done after it. Christ died for me. On that day, he had Gary Bennett on his mind. He had your name on his mind. He had Timothy Ormerod on his mind and on his heart. And he died for you. It's a personal thing. But so is your judgment. And here we say, verse 29, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So at a time, they were just ignorant of it. They knew about the gospel, they knew about Christ, they knew the way of salvation, but it's not for me. Keep it at a distance. I don't want my mind to think on them things. Do you know what? I played football for probably the best part of 15, 16 years of my life. And at one stage, one of the young lads that was training with us, him and a guy that plays for another rival team, were on an airplane coming home from the Isle of Man from the TT races. I think it's actually 9 or else 10 years this weekend. And that airplane crashed just outside Kilkeel, and them young men were killed. And there was a lot of conversations going on around the training ground, around the pitches, in the dressing rooms. And people that were brought up, a couple of friends of mine that were brought up as Free Presbyterians as well, one that is in the world, they were having conversations. And some of the boys would say, just don't talk about that. I don't want to know about judgment. Don't talk about Christ. Don't talk about death. It's uncomfortable. And yes, it is. But there's coming a time when you're not going to be able to talk about it. There's coming a time when you'll not be able to approach Christ about it, because it's too late. And he will not answer. Now is the day of salvation. Christ has given you another opportunity tonight to turn off that path, to take his reproof, and to turn on to Christ. He loves you. He'll be more faithful to you than anybody else. You know, we read out that statement, was read this morning, and it's in, clearly it's to do with the state of our country at the minute and the way things have turned in it, the way people have turned, the way organisations have turned. But what a blessing it is that our Christ never changes. Our God never changes. Our God will never let us down. Our God will never betray us. And if you turn on to Him, He will never leave you lonely. He will never leave you wanting. You will have all that you need in Him. There's nothing in this life that you can depend upon like Jesus Christ. He is the rock. You know, the young people were learning about the Catholic Church and how they believe it was built upon Peter. Christ is the rock that we build our church upon. He is the one we worship. He is the only one that can bring you onto the ground of salvation. He's reaching out for you. Just as the word reached out this morning, we learned about saying, come with us. Christ has His hand out to you and He's saying, turn at my reproof and come on to me. The invitation is still here. Verse 30. They with none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. How many people totally despise the gospel? Totally despise what you believe in, if you're a believer. Totally reject you. The country's full of them. Verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The turning away of the simple shall slay them. That's that mindset. Not wanting your mind to get into the depths of it. Not wanting to survey where your soul really is. Not wanting to question, am I truly saved? Am I truly saved? Or am I being swept along in a false profession here? It's a good thing to question it. Verse 31 again. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Verse 30, sorry, I was meaning to read. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Now maybe you're burdened for a family member that you've been praying for. As a believer, you've been praying for them for years. You've been praying that the Lord would save their souls. And you're discouraged. And you're thinking, this is never going to happen. Well, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, he buried an uncle of mine, Mr. David McGowan. David was an ex-military man. And a lot of my family are saved, my aunts and uncles, and would have been trying to speak to them down through the years. And from my married Victoria, I moved from Kilkeel to Refrain, and David lived in Refrain. And we were doing the housing estate that he lives in, we were doing it with outreach for the Holiday Bible Club and for different meetings that's going on around the church. And I'd always would make a point of going to the house to see him. And his wife Margaret died about a year and a half ago. Me and my wife were in with him last August, and David was a thick man. He was nearly a thought with you, and he did not believe the gospel. And McMahon died a year and a half, almost two years ago, and that day we were in, he says, your Aunt Margaret's not in heaven, she's round the corner in the Baptist graveyard. Once she dies, that's it, the remains is in there. And you know, I gave up. I thought, that man will never be saved. And the Baptist pastor, the local Baptist pastor, was calling with him as well. And he practically got chased. And he gave up. But one of the elders of that church continued to visit him. And one Saturday, David phoned that elder and he says, then would you call down at the house? He says, I'm going to Newry here now. He says, I just don't have time at the minute. Or if you really need me to come, I'll come. But if not, would it do it on Monday? He says, yes, it'll do it on Monday. And that man went and called with him on the Monday. And he met him at the door and he says, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I want to be saved. At 80 years of age, rejecting the gospel. And we had given up, but you know, Christ hadn't given up. Christ gave him that chance to turn. Christ gave him that chance whenever he gave him that reproof to turn on to him, and he took it. That man's in heaven tonight. And I always had thought many times about his funeral service, how sad it was going to be to sit there and think that he was in hell. But glory to God, Christ didn't give up. That wee elder from the Baptist didn't give up. When I had, and I tell you what, it was a word of chastisement to me to sit in that funeral service and know that man was saved. To think that I had given up. You never give up on your family members, them that are saved, that you're burdened for. Pray on. But God is faithful and just. But if you're in that predicament here, Christ won't give up until the point whereby your life goes. And at that stage, your chance is gone. It said there, but I will not answer. Don't leave it too late. Don't leave it too late. One more verse to go through. And this is the sweetest verse of them all. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What an ending there is for a believer. Those that have taken the gospel, those that have taken the reproof of Christ, those that have turned when Christ has appealed to them, and they've taken the way of wisdom, they've had the fear of the Lord, and they believe that Christ is the only way. It says they shall dwell in safety and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What a place heaven will be when all our sorrows, when all our struggles are gone. Do you know what, the minute we often read about Christ, it being like a hen brooding over her roost and over her nest. You can imagine that bird with its chicks under its wings. It's like us on earth. And some will run out, get into the world and run back in. And you know, whenever Christ lifts his wings up from us, we'll be in glory. When all the devil's temptations are gone, when all the devil's arrows are gone, when the temptations to go down that path are gone, and we're safely on the other side of Jordan, he lifts his wings and he says, you shall be quiet from fear of evil. What a place heaven will be when all these sorrows are gone. It's not too late, believer. It's not too late, sinner. Believer, pray on for those in your family that you're burdened for. Sinful man, sinful woman, you've never taken the step of repentance. You've never pleaded with Christ to forgive you of your sins. Tonight, once more, he's reaching out to you, saying, turn. Turn on to me. Have you taken the invitation of the Word to come with us? Or are you going to take the hand of Christ when he says, turn on to me? Pray the Lord will bless you through his word. Thank you.